Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Joy Chilling Couch Show. This week, we're going to be talking about match day two of the Bundesliga. Obviously, I'm joined by Elliot. We're just going to kick things off with what happened last Friday. We had Dortmund winning 3-1 against Freiburg.
Yeah, this was the big one that we were all looking forward to after, again, Dortmund's not great opening day victory against Leverkusen, and then obviously Freiburg took Augsburg to the shed opening day. So you have two different perspectives here. You have on one side, you have the ambition, the excitement of a Freiburg team that, you know, always seems to kind of fly under the radar. And then you had all this, the Erling Haaland isn't there anymore. The way they spent well in the summer, they fixed their issues. But obviously against Leverkusen, they just didn't perform to what you would expect from it. Spent a lot of money, got their pieces together. Also, obviously Sebastian Haller, not being there at the very moment is, you know, a big miss, but they perform well enough against Leverkusen. And in this game, they run possession, they kind of in control in the beginning, and you know, all Freiburg needed is a early chance, or not an early chance, but the end of the first half, you see Matthias Ginter set up Michael Grigish for the opening goal, and they hold tight on this lead for the majority of the game, and then late on, Dortmund find a way through, and then they pull away with some great football at the end. Obviously, the opening goal was spilled. It was a little bit of goalkeeping mistake from the goalkeeper, the young Englishman. I forgot his name. A youngster cashes in on the opportunity from a deep strike. And then, obviously, Dortmund getting gear the last 15, 20 minutes to score two more to get 3 points. But, again, not a overly impressive performance, a better performance. I wouldn't say it was a bad display. I thought, but again, I think there's still some things to be worked out with Dortmund this season. And you know, I know what you're going to say. Oh, they're second in the league, but you know, they haven't looked like a team that's really put together two great performances. You had a really shitty performance, and then you had a performance where it wasn't like it was bad, but they hung around and they pushed for that late goal. And at the end, you had that, you know, almost un-Dortmund-like winning intangibles to win at the end. But I would say it's all things aside, I think it was a good point for Dortmund. That's a top side that is beat. And, you know, six points out of two games, I think, is a great start for the Dortmund bunch. Again, their performances need to change. They need to be much more I just think they need to put together a better performance. Because it was better than last week, but I still think it leaves something to be desired. But you know, you're going to get the points how they fall, and you know, again, improvement on performance would be great. But they do get two wins out of two, and the way they came through and rallied back after being in the gutter basically most of the second half, I thought was very impressive. And they got two well crafted goals at the end to put the nail in the coffin. But, you know, I think from Dortmund's perspective, even though the performance may not have been the sharpest, I think they have to be happy where they sit.
Yeah, I mean, I totally 100% agree. I mean, it was definitely a way better performance than last week, but it still wasn't up to what we're seeing from a Dortmund side such as this. Obviously, I think it was Freiburg. Hang on, let me go back and scroll and see where I'm at just to make sure.
It was.
Yeah. You had Freiburg coming off a massive win last week against Augsburg, but Augsburg are steaming hot garbage. So, yeah, there's not much to say about that.
I think we'll wait on that judge and see what happened this week with them, but carry on.
But, I mean, obviously you have Freiburg sitting on that lead for a good chunk of the game, and then obviously Dortmund get back into the swing of things, which shows that they still have those winning intangibles. But it's one of those situations where it's better than last week, but it's still not to snuff. So the real question is, what do I mean? They haven't been performing where we're used to seeing them. What do you think needs to change? Because what is it, something like how they're composing themselves in the attack? Is it more of a midfield or defensive issue? Like, what do you think needs to change?
Well, I think as much as we're ragging on Dortmund, their first two games were against Leverkusen and Freiburg. I mean, those aren't great games to start your campaign. That is a difficult schedule. I think at this point, I think it's just new environments, no Erling Haaland, new coach, and they just haven't quite gotten the hang of it. I think the manager hasn't quite figured out what his best team is. He's trying a lot of different things, and I think the coach is making things too complicated. Because he has a lot of new players, he doesn't know how he wants to integrate everyone into the team. I think, you know, it's quite simple. I think that you have depth with some of the signings. I think defensively they've been solid. But it's just a case of, trying to make things a little too complicated. The midfield really should be it should be, I don't know their formation offhand, but basically Jude Bellingham, Julian Brandt as a kind of a cam, and then you put like Emre Can or Ozkan, who they just signed from one of the red teams. I forgot. I think Mainz or Cologne. I forgot which one. To put them in the midfield, and then you can have, obviously, with the attack, you have the new kid from Salzburg, you have Danielle Malin, and then Marco Reus. So if you're going with the front three, you go with that. Obviously, they played Modest, and they started him immediately. That's another option. They have options in the attack, but they just have to stop making things so complicated and just play to your strengths rather than trying to – I would say they're just doing too much. They're trying to, like, I guess there's no such thing as trying too hard, but they just need to simplify their situation, and then they're going to play better. You know, it's great that they came through late and got those goals, which, you know, they had Dortmund intangibles for one day in the history of Dortmund Football Club since 2012. This is the one game they've had good intangibles, it feels like. But it's just, I think, trying to make things simple. Because there's nothing inherently wrong with the squad. They got one of the best goalkeepers in the league. They fix their defensive issues. I like what they have out wide. I like what they have in the midfield. I like what they have up front. And they have depth. So this is a good team. This is a very good team. But I think they just need to figure out how they're going to play this season and stick to the plan. And again, just don't make things too complicated. The guy who's coaching them now did win them the cup 2 years ago as a caretaker manager. He's a Dortmund fan and watched them win the league in the crowd. So I really hope it hits for him, and I hope that he does a great job. But I just think he's trying to do too many gymnastics, and he just needs to keep things simple. And again, you have to figure out the best way you're going to play with this Dortmund team. And he has a lot of options in areas, but he just has to stick to some sort of formula that kind of is inducive to them performing better. Because again, this wasn't a bad performance, but it looked like Freiburg was going to win for most of the game until they came too late, which is great. And they win that game in tough place. But again, my word for Dortmund is just simplify it, and I think you're going to be fine. Now they got the 6 points. You can extend on that, and you can win more games. But I want to see a great performance next week. I'm not sure who they play, or tomorrow. But they need to start performing better as a collective.
Tomorrow they play Werder Bremen.
Ooh, that's not as easy as it seems on paper, because Werder Bremen have had very surprisingly good opening two games. But that's a game they should win. I would like to see them come up big and play dominating football, and I think that's what we want to see. But don't complicate things and just do what you can do. And again, have a game plan, stick with it. If you have issues, you have depth. So I think you just have to simplify it and they'll be fine.
Yeah, that's like, I've just noticed that, like, in general with, like, even a normal day-to-day job such as mine, like, if you try to do everything all at once, it's not going to work because your brain will get overwhelmed. And then, so my mom, like, said, if you have to break a task down into smaller manageable parts, do it. So as long as you simplify things and not overcomplicate things, I say they should be fine. But yeah, it's one of those. But I mean, once they kind of simplify things and kind of figure out a formula that actually works, I think they'll be off to the races. But until that happens, I don't know.
Yeah, they have to figure out basically, okay, who my starting defense is, all my center back partnership are staying there. Every game, those are there, the goalkeeper, obviously. In the midfield, you're always going to have Jude Bellingham. That's the one person you should have every single game, and I think Brandt, but at least Jude Bellingham, you know. So it's a banker. That's a banker. And then in the attack, I don't think this team can play without Marco Reus and Donovan Milan. Those two need to be starting every game. So you have the guys who should be starting every single game. Then you have a bunch of other pieces, and then you should adjust from that. But you should highlight pieces in this team that at least in the Bundesliga will probably be starting every single game. And I think that's kind of the way they should approach tomorrow, but we'll see what happens. I just think it's not like they don't have the quality. They do. They're just making things too complicated.
Yeah, I mean, once they figure that out, they should be golden. But until that happens, it's gonna be tough to watch them for a while until they kind of come to that realization.
Six out of six though. So the results are still coming in.
Yeah, that's the main thing, is that the results are coming in. As long as those are coming in, they shouldn't really worry too much. But, I mean, in order to just perform better, they just need to simplify it down. Or, as I like to call it, they need to just kiss. Keep it simple, silly. I love my acronyms. I'm sorry. But in speaking of their Dortmund's opponents tomorrow, Werder Bremen drew 2-2 against Stuttgart.
Yeah, both of those teams are surprisingly good this season so far. And I know, Stuttgart have 2 points this season. One of those came against Leipzig. I think that's a big point. Werder Bremen, one of them was against Wolfsburg. I mean, for all we know, Wolfsburg could be shit, but I think it's hard to judge after two games since they played Bayern last weekend. But I really liked what I saw. Stuttgart has the top players that you could suggest, okay, they have what it takes. You look at Silas, you look at Ito Endo, you look at Marvapanos. They have constant players. You look at Sasha Kalajic. They've had the quality in the squad. It was just a health problem last year, and that's probably why they struggled to the level that they did. And, you know, that's just going to happen sometimes. So they have quality. The question marks all kind of hindered on Werder Bremen. As me and Ryan like to call them, the most irrelevant Bundesliga club in the world. But they're looking relevant the first two games. Question is, where are the fucking goals going to come from? How are they going to score? Do they have someone who can get to 15, 20, 20 goals this Bundesliga season? Even like a 16-goal season would be all right. And I don't know if it's answered. But if you look at the Bundesliga charts right now, Jamal Musiala is on top with 3, and Nicholas Fulcrum has 2. So they have currently the second highest goal scorer in the league right now. And through two games, he scored in both games. He's looked fresh. He's looked sharp. He looks like when you get him the ball in dangerous positions that he can get there in front of goal. And obviously, there was a lot of stuff that happened this game, and it was a little end-to-end. Defensively, Werner Brennan looked sharp. Nicholas Stark looks like a top signing from them, even if it was from the basement of the Bundesliga. And because Stuttgart in the second half really kind of pushed, and they just kind of held them off, and obviously they have an outstanding goalkeeper as well. So you have to look at all aspects and all panels of it. Oh, in addition to all of those things, though, it's just like, I think it's just trying to just, continue to sort of use the energy that they have to do this. And obviously they held off the avalanche of attacking football from Stuttgart. And then Werner Brenna comes in the last couple of minutes, in the last kick of the game, boom, 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 Oliver Burke, bam. And they survive at the end getting a point. And I think, you know, you can say what you want about it. It wasn't the most challenging of opponents. I think they were similar level. But to have the energy to go and get that late goal and for them to do what they did, I thought was really impressive. And Werner Brennan, through two games, has been the shock of the Bundesliga. Now, can they do it through 34 games? That's a question for another day. But through the first two games, I think the big question mark surrounding Werner Brennan has been answered. Where Stuttgart, there was questions to be asked, but I think overall we knew that they had the quality, where there was questions about Werner Brennan that weren't answered. And I'm not saying that they're answered now, but they at least got someone who I think, if given service, can score goals, and he's done it through two games. And I think, and again, getting that late win, not late equalizer is big as well.
Yeah, definitely. And from what I've seen over the past 2 weeks, whether it be from watching full matches, highlights, the Bundesliga show, I mean, I've already come up to my conclusion that Bundesliga is one of my favorite leagues to watch now. I mean, just seeing how these teams, like in certain leagues, it's kind of pretty much cut and dry on who's going to win unless the stronger team has an off day.
But to be fair, in Bayern is basically winner, but the rest of it's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I love about this league. It's very interesting. It's not like sometimes in Serie A it's kind of pretty much cut and dry, but with this league, you could have two middle teams going at each other, and you think one of them is a little bit stronger, but then the other team surprises you, or you even have a relegation side going up against a top-tier side, and sometimes they get lucky and come away with a point. So it's very interesting to watch the Bundesliga compared to some of the other leagues out there, because you just never know, such as this. I mean, you had a very defensive Werder Bremen versus a very strong attacking Stuttgart. So it was like, okay, you think Stuttgart is going to win, but nope, you got the defense pushing Stuttgart to the attack to their limits. So, but both teams just fought very well to come away with a point each. And, I mean, this Werder Bremen side is definitely a side to keep an eye on, because, I mean, they've had a great two matches, but do they keep it up for the long haul? Obviously, you just said it, a question for another day. But just from what I've seen from this team so far, just shows that they're a team not to sleep on this year, because you never know what's going to happen in this league, whereas some other leagues are cut and dry. So that's what I'm kind of taking away from this match, is just seeing how like certain tactical styles clash, but they could still come away with the points, where if you have a really good defensive side, the attacking side is going to struggle immensely. But this side, I mean, they got their two goals in the end to come away with the point. So, I mean, it's just fun to see what goes on within this league.
Yeah, I think, you know, you bring up a lot of great points. In fairness, I think Serie A and the Bundesliga are not miles apart. I do think the Bundesliga is better, but there are certain aspects of Serie A that are more intriguing than the Bundesliga. Where Serie A, we know the eight. Again, we don't really know anything, but outside of maybe the first two teams. But Serie A, we know the six to eight teams that are going to be challenging for the spots. I think that's all pretty clear. And it's not like predictable. It's very unpredictable, because we don't know who's going to finish where. But the thing, what I would say about the Bundesliga, because I want to make sure we're respecting Serie A as well, because there's not miles off, and Serie A opening weekend was incredible as well. But what I would say about that is the difference between the Bundesliga and Serie A is, in the Bundesliga, we have no idea which teams are pushing Europe. We can make a guess of who they could be, But there's going to be someone in this Bundesliga season that is probably not expected to make a push at a Europa League, a Conference League spot, that will. But we don't know who it is, where in Serie A, if something happens, we know which teams are probably going to not overachieve, but grab the spots that maybe weren't available to them. Because if you take out the top, not even the top stuff, but outside of the Champions League places, we know the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams, 9 teams that could take advantage of something if someone kind of slips. Where I think the Bundesliga is unpredictable. And I just think the only thing that separates it, I think there's a little bit more glossary of talent in the Bundesliga, and it's a little bit more entertaining. But only just. So I just want to give Serie A our flowers as well.
And they will be roses, and they will be delivered next Tuesday.
No, we just have to make it clear that we're not – when we compare the leagues, we're not trying to push one over the other, that it's a respect for both. It's just we're just talking about it in a specific way.
I definitely agree. And now let's see, what match shall we go to next? Because there's so many good options this week with what has happened. And let's go with the one that had the only red card of the week. RB Leipzig drawing 2-2 against ADU Cologne.
I'm frustrated because Leipzig, I mean, this is a tough one because both of them are top sides. Obviously, Leipzig can't get the job done last week in getting a point. I thought Leipzig played terrific. And I just think in certain aspects of the game, they couldn't convert. And it wasn't just a good – it's different than certain teams going up against a great goalkeeper, which Cologne – Timo Horn is good. I think he's very solid. He's very underrated. But he's not saving the Titanic from sinking. So it was a case of you're playing against a very determined Cologne side that obviously lost their top striker from last season, but still motivated, still are have the ambition to go for it. They still back their team. They have one of my favorite coaches in the league, and I think they just do a really good job of getting under people's skin. They also can push back against the top side. Leipzig played really well, extremely well, actually. Timo Werner on his, you know, like we talked about the last night with Lukaku scoring on his debut for Inter Milan. Timo Werner is the same, and it was a gift. Goalkeeper mistake, and it just kind of goes underneath him. But Timo Werner off the mark for RB Leipzig, which is great. You know, Cologne just get back in the game because they just go for your throat. They make you uncomfortable. They are like a rash you can't get rid of. If you're not going to up against Cologne and you can beat them, they're not going away though. They're always going to come back and they're going to have a little something for you. And then obviously, you know, if you had any indication, I know the stock of Jamal Musiala is rising in Munich, but I think at this point, if you saw, then they get back in the game with Christopher Nkunku. There is no doubt in my mind at all that he is the best player in this league. And maybe by the end of the season, Musiala and Nkunku is like, who do you take? But at this point, I think Nkunku is far and away the best player in this league. And you look at the goal he had off his left foot. I think his weak foot into the smallest fucking window in the net that you could possibly. It was one of the goals of the weekend. He scores 2-2. He looks terrific. He looks like he's ready to you know, to take on this season and do great things with Leipzig. And Cologne, obviously, as I said, played really well and all that stuff. But and it's unfortunate Dominik Szoboszlai getting that red card for he kind of elbowed a got dude in the face, but it wasn't very aggressive. So I think maybe not the right choice there. And obviously they get unlucky at the end with an own goal, but that wasn't the fault of the defender. It was just put in a window that was unavoidable. As far as Leipzig, I think they still have the best chance at kicking Bayern while they're down, but not an ideal start. And that's what I'm going to say multiple times today. But I don't think we have to worry about anything. I suspect this week, I think they play Union Berlin, who's coming off a bad performance. I think this is a match where Leipzig goes nuts and just annihilates them, even though Union Berlin is a good team. But I don't think we have to worry about Leipzig yet. It's not an ideal start as it is, but you know, it's going to be a very competitive league. People are going to take points of different sides, but it's not an ideal start. But this wasn't just a case of, oh, they should have won. They definitely should have won, but they were going up against a team that doesn't take no bullshit. And you know, maybe that's a weird way to phrase that, but I think Cologne's they're not laying down and dying for anybody. They're gonna be at your throat. They're gonna be in your face. They're gonna be doing things that make you uncomfortable. And even though Christopher Nkunku was phenomenal, best player in the league, but you know, hopefully that next week he can lead them to points. But it was a terrific performance all around from both sides who just went at it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, definitely great show from both of these teams that are fighting to the nail. Obviously, you have Leipzig, who is a team that we've seen compete in the past, do incredible things. And then you have Cologne, who I believe, if I'm remembering, would usually finish in the middle of the table or at least close to the bottom, but not that close. But all just
right. Story time.
Yay! Story time.
It's gonna be a quick one. So last year they finished in seventh. But because Freiburg made the German Cup final, it gave another spot for the Europe in seventh. So they're going in the Conference League this season. The year before that, they were fighting with Schalke. Schalke was dead in the water at that season. But they were fighting with Schalke to survive by the skin of their teeth. It looks like they're going down. They go on this great run. I think they went unbeaten in 9 of 11 games to end the season. They survived. They end up in like 15th or not. It was higher than that. I think it ended up in 14th or 13th. And then last year, they were one of the big overachievers, quote unquote, and they end up finishing in 7th when a lot of people expected them to get relegated or finish near the bottom of the league again.
Okay, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, just seeing these teams like go at it. I mean, you have Leipzig, who has those winning intangibles still there, and then you have Cologne, who doesn't take no garbage from anybody. I mean, it was just a very well done performance, and it's going to be fun to see how these teams compete the rest of the season, because you have Leipzig, successful team. You have Cologne, who's just starting to really step it up. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I would say Cologne is a team, I would describe them as on the rise. You know, they lose Anthony Modeste to Dortmund, which I still think is a weird transfer. And they performed in 2 games without him. They look fine.
Oh, yeah. By the way, here's a quick segment from Danielle Lursen called The Funnest Names to Say in the Bundesliga. Nkunku, Schlavischlei, and Bibu. So now back to our regularly scheduled podcast episode.
A couple more. I mean,
but yeah, I mean, just overall well done. Obviously, Schlavischlei gets that red card, which is unfortunate, but it was, you could make a case either way. It wasn't an aggressive hit, but obviously.
Someone in the face, you're getting a suspension. I mean, I looked at it the first time. I'm like, that was soft. Because the other dude was kind of overreacting a little bit. But I do believe he got suspended for 2 games, unfortunately. I think it was a little harsh. But the thing is, in any league, if you hit someone in the face, you're not getting off just with 1 game suspension. So he got what he was coming to him. I think it was a foolish thing to do. But again, this is how Cologne gets underneath your skin. It's not like they say anything. They just play you very physically. So when tempers are flaring, a lot of times they're going to get a reaction. They got, remember, if you rewind
give me a moment to recompose myself. Oh gosh. Ooh, okay. Carry on.
Schalke. They got Schalke to do something stupid. So my advice for teams playing Cologne, in Cologne mostly, but also in general, do not react when they try to mess with you, because they, in two games, they had gotten two players sent off. I don't think this is some coincidence. And maybe for the rest of the season, no one gets a red card in a Cologne game again. But through two games, two guys, two red cards in the first half. I think that's really damaging to the opposition.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, and also, guys, just be careful. Yeah, they'll try to mess with you and get you down to their level, then beat you with the experience.
They're not trying to get in people's heads, but they just frustrate the opposing team, then they react to it. So it wasn't like they're whispering in their ear, and, you know, trying to get under the skin. They're not like manipulators. They're just physical, a physical team that plays hard. So that's where you're gonna get. You just can't react to that. And again, Slapperslide, my Hungarian friend, should have not done that. But you know, that's how they can get you sometimes.
Let's see. Let's go with another one that ended in a game that ended in a draw, because I'm feeling like this was the week of Draws City. Let's go with Mainz versus Union Berlin in a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, this game wasn't great. Of the two teams, who would be happier? Probably Union Berlin. I thought they just didn't play well at all. Again, they played so well that first opening week, but they were playing against the basement of the Bundesliga. They just didn't. I didn't see the attacking prowess that we saw in that first week. I thought they were a little off. I thought they weren't moving the ball the way they did in that first game, and didn't look as sharp. Where I think Mainz kind of controlled the game. And again, it's been confirmed that Jonathan Burkhardt, the who could be a breakout star this season. He does have a thigh injury. I don't know when he's supposed to be back, but that is why he didn't play the first two games. Because we were looking for him the first two games. But to get a point here, it's something that they can do here with that. But, you know, I thought it was well-balanced, but I thought Mainz had the majority of the good chances, and Union Berlin just didn't show as sharp in front of goal. And in general, I thought it wasn't a great game, though. I think it was just too – there's another thing. You're very rarely going to see a 0-0 draw in this league. The thing about the Bundesliga, as exciting, as entertaining as it is not the league for goalless draws. Bundesliga goalless draws basically means both teams didn't show up. Where in England and Italy, 0-0 draws can be some of the best matches this season. Germany's more entertaining than all the league, but when it is a goalless draw, it's usually not as exciting, and that was the case here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just one of those situations where Mainz was definitely coming off an incredible win last week. I mean, Union Berlin coming off against the bottom feeders, a.k.a. the rivals. So, I mean, Mainz definitely should be proud having at least a point from this. But it just was an unfortunate situation. But, I mean, that shows, like, how good each of these teams' defenses are in regards to, like, how they were able to keep each other at a goalless draw. Obviously, it's very rare, but in certain circumstances, it can happen, but not as often in this league, though. Because this is one of the leagues that has more of the predominant goal scoring throughout. So, but I mean, overall, definitely at least each team salvaged a point from this, and they're able to maintain their success so far within the league, even though it's only two matches. But I mean, there's really just not a lot of takeaways from this one compared to some of the others out there.
Yeah, the only thing you could probably say is from the Union Berlin side, they're going to play Leipzig this weekend, who need 3 points. So I think that's the only black mark it kind of puts on is Union Berlin didn't put themselves up in a good position for the rest of it. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, exactly. So since it wasn't really a lot to take away, let's see. We've covered Dortmund, Werder, Frankfurt, Union, Leipzig. Okay, let's go. Hoffenheim versus Bochum. 3-2 win for Hoffenheim.
Yeah, I was at the ground this week. No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
I know you weren't. Sit your butt down and act all normal.
I wrote about this game this week. And this was the game of the weekend in any league. This was fucking phenomenal. Because we saw how horrible Hoffenheim looked without a Sir David Rom. And obviously Gladbach took advantage of that in the opening week of the season. They looked, you know, they just looked really bad. Fortunately, they secured a deal for Angelino from RB Leipzig on loan. I'm not sure if there's a buy option to the end of it. So they looked a lot more potent on that right side. It seemed like they filled in the gaps of the week before. And you look at some of the stuff that they done in this game. Obviously they were much more impressive than the last week. And Bochum, you remember, played well, but got Mainz beat them at the last second. Not the last second, but like 15 minutes to the end in the first week of the season. Both teams want to prove something. Hoffenheim want to prove they are a team that we should be keeping our eyes on for Europe. Bochum want to show people that we're not getting relegated this season, but so keep picking us down there. And then it could not have started better for Bochum. It could not have started worse for Hoffenheim. Bochum get a brace from Simon Zoller. With goals in the 10th and 12th minute, or 15th minute, something like that. They ran out to a two-goal lead so fast that if you went to the bathroom, you probably would have missed it. And they're just on their way to sort of a resounding victory. It felt like this was the problem. They scored in the 13th, 14th minute. Less than a minute later, Christopher Baumgartner is lacing the ball into the other net for Hoffenheim. They get back in this game, and this is the most important part of the entire game. It's how quickly they got back into it. If they go into the second half and they're losing, even if it's by one goal, they're not going to be as aggressively optimistic going into the later stages of the game. You know, again, a goalkeeping mistake, but Hoffenheim takes advantage. They score immediately. And remember, I bring this up every time. Last season, 21 points from losing positions. They want to add some points to this season doing so. So they get back into it. Then by the half-hour mark, they score again. And it went from two goals to lead for Bochum to 2-2 before the half-hour mark. And really, four-goal first half, really exotic, really incredible. And Hoffenheim has all the momentum now. They get that goal back quickly. They continue to build on that. They look like the sharper, stronger team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then going to the second half, they clash heads. But all the momentum is rising with Hoffenheim. Angelino looks nice on that right side. Is he as good as David Rom? I would say no, but he's in the same ballpark, and I think that's going to be a really good signing for them, and they needed to do that because they were pedestrian on that side the week before. And then it looks like things – they're really pushing, but they're not breaking through. And then my compadre at Hoffenheim, the manager, brings in Sebastian Rudi and Dabu. Sebastian Rudi to Dabu in the 93rd minute, bam, scores game winner, and you know, Hoffenheim explode. They're at home, the fans are behind them, and they win a very dramatic win. And again, as much as Hoffenheim were impressive, and I think them scoring that equalizer so quickly after the second goal kind of perplexed them into the second half and ultimately helped them get the victory. On the other side of things, Bochum, I feel bad for, because 2 weeks in a row, they have conceded a winner in the last minutes. And it's just an unfortunate thing, because I think Bochum, for the most part, played well. They started so well. Simon Zoller was balling. But then things started to crumble once Hoffenheim got back in the game. And they really couldn't coexist with them once they got that equalizer. I felt like emotionally and mentally they were demoralized. And and they couldn't quite get themselves out of it, even though they did play well in the second half. But Hoffenheim just kind of rode the momentum and closed the door.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Hoffenheim has – I mean, this was pretty much a good back-and-forth match. Obviously, once they got into a rhythm, Hoffenheim knew what was needed, and they found that opening to get the 3 points. But, I mean, in general, like, Hoffenheim, I think – what was the result last week? They lost against my boys, Mönchengladbach, but it's like – one of those situations where they came back from after losing, while Bochum, let's see if I can remember correctly. Bochum, where are you?
They lost to Mainz 2-1 with a 35th minute, but from Mainz.
So, I mean, one of these teams, like, learned from their losses, while the other one, it just has still to hit, like, that rhythm. But, I mean, they did perform decent. But it just, in the end, Hoffenheim got that goal to solidify those 3 points. But it's obviously it's still early, and there's going to be a lot of time to see where these how these teams progress in the next few weeks, or if they're a team that normally is going to probably struggle, you're going to see them probably stay in the similar place or just get progressively worse, just depending on the situation.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Bochum though. I think they're going to be fine.
I think so too.
It's misfortune. They got a 2-goal lead for a reason because they played really well. But then, again, when you're a team that's not in the Bundesliga and haven't been in the Bundesliga like for many, many years, because remember this is only their second time back since whenever. But because they got promoted the year before last, and they get that 2-goal lead, and I think once Hoffenheim started coming back, it was hard for them to deal with it because they don't have the veteran level experience that Hoffenheim. So for those who don't know, Sebastian Rudi's been in the Bundesliga for a very long time. And I know he didn't get the goal, but he supplied the goal. When you can bring on a player like that off your bench, someone who's played for 3-4 different Bundesliga team, who's won the league with Bayern, who's done well with Hoffenheim, played with come some other teams as well, he knows how to get results in the end. And that's the type of player that changes a game, and you know. Because of the substitution that was made by the coach, because I think manager deserves a lot of praise for that. The Kings have returned.
Yeah, definitely. We have 3 more matches to get through. Let's see. What am I feeling? Let's see. Going with rolling the dice here. And we are going with Augsburg's 2-1 win over Leverkusen.
If you look on Wikipedia, who saved the Titanic from sinking? It's the Augsburg goalkeeper.
I know, right?
I mean, dude, the thing is, how good have Leverkusen looked through 2 games? They've looked in fucking credible. They have no points. Schick has looked sharp. Diaby has looked sharp. The young guys that they have in the team, everyone's looked really good. And I feel like they're building something special there. But, man, it's just the dumbest of luck. You end up with Gregory Kobel saving the world with everything he was saving in the first game. And then you have the Augsburg goalkeeper. I can't pronounce his name. Who's just saves absolutely everything. He faced 11 there were 10 shots on target. I mean, he made 10 saves. 11 shots. He made 10 saves. And some of these saves, it's like he was grabbing the ball out of the top corner when he should not be able to reach that high. It was just an unbelievable level of goalkeeping. And the thing is with Augsburg, even though that's part of it and they did concede in that game, they got goals from their players when they needed them to sort of convert them. They start strong. They score that goal. Obviously, Leverkusen comes back, does their thing, and then they get the goal when they needed the most late in the game. So, I mean, Augsburg did what they could in the attacking sense, but the game was won in their goal as he would not let anything through. They tried to do everything they could to break down that wall, and every time they thought they had an opportunity, the guy is just grabbing the ball out of the top corner. So I think, you know, again, Leverkusen played as great as you could have played, but they still end up on the short end of the stick because for the second week in a row, they come up against a goalkeeper that's just not – he's not playing games in that net. And I think that's what it really kind of came down to, is he just would save everything. Because it wasn't – Leverkusen played great, but, again, they lucked out with an amazing goalkeeping performance. One of the best of the season. I mean, it's only 2 weeks deep, but still.
I mean – I'm excited to see what that Augsburg goalkeeper does the rest of the season just based on that performance. I mean, Leverkusen from top to bottom were the stronger team, but, I mean, Augsburg was not going to be pushed around, even though they had a really terrible loss last week at the hands of Freiburg. And so it's one of those situations where, I mean, Leverkusen attacked that goal left to right, but that keeper was just saving everything like there was no tomorrow, literally. And so it's just one of the situations where they were able to finally get that second goal to secure the 3 points, because even though their goalkeeper was pretty much saving everything, they had to do what they had to do on the attacking side of things as well to get those goals. So, I mean, just with Augsburg and the way they – it's like last week they struggled, but this week they kind of stepped it up a little bit. Obviously, it's still only 2 weeks in, and there's still a lot of football left, and it's crazy that we're going to have a longer football season because of the World Cup in December. But, I mean, just in general – just a really good performance from Augsburg. Obviously, Leverkusen, though they're the strongest team, have yet to get any points this season. But I do believe that will change when they face... Where are you? Hoffenheim. So we'll see what happens with that. But, I mean, that's going to be even a tough opponent for them as well, because yeah. Hoffenheim is showing that they have fight in them, unlike previous seasons. So it's going to be just fun to see which one of these teams gets those points.
I would guess that Hoffenheim beats them. And I would guess that the Augsburg goalkeeper is not going to play like that in back-to-back weeks. It's not happening.
Oh, yeah. But, okay, the real question is, now that you brought that up, why do you think Hoffenheim will beat Leverkusen tomorrow?
You know, they're going into Augsburg, which is, I mean, it's good for Augsburg to kind of have that sort of momentum about it. But I think Hoffenheim are just stronger. They're more experienced. I would say they're more experienced. They have higher quality players. They don't have – the problem with Augsburg is, again, Ruben Vargas can have a game occasionally that he's unplayable. Andre Hunt can have a game occasionally that he's unplayable. It seems like every time – Christoph Baumgartner is playing for Hoffenheim, there's game changers. Because if you think of game changers, players that are going to tip the game, you look at Christoph Baumgartner, you know, Andre Kramerich, who has a couple 20-goal seasons with Hoffenheim. You have Jorginho Rüder, who's one of the best young players in the league. You have a solid bench, and again, when you can bring guys like Sebastian Rudi off the bench, I just think they're going to be overwhelmed. And the difference between the two is if Augsburg goes down early and doesn't get a quick response, I think they can struggle. Where Hoffenheim, it's almost like they either feel comfortable when their backs are against the wall. And there's a reason they got 21 points from losing positions last year. And now that they fixed their problem with Rom leaving, they got a replacement in who did a good job in his opening game. I think they'll just have too much for him. And again, nothing against Augsburg. If he can play, if that goalkeeper can play that again, I think I'd be surprised, not to say he's not quality, but that was a really special performance that we're not going to see. We're going to see a performance like that, but it's never going to be from the same person. You know, you look at the first 2 weeks, we've seen Florian Müller, we've seen Gregory Kobel, and we've seen the Augsburg goalkeeper all put together some insane performances. But if you look at the following games, two. All of that, they're not going to be at that level all the time, because that's just the way it is. But I do think Hoffenheim just have a better society. And they're Augsburg are easier to break down than Hoffenheim is, especially when they're pulling things so well in the midfield.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, there's only two matches left, and it's our two teams, Wolfsburg and Mönchengladbach. So hang on, I'm going to go get a trusty handy dandy coin. And we're going to flip this thing, see who gets to go to the, I guess I like to call it the slaughterhouse. Okay, just because I'm having a little fun today, because why the hell not? Okay, heads or tails?
Tails.
And the result is tails. You get to decide who gets to go first.
We should end with Gladbach since it was more dramatic. So let's talk about Wolfsburg, Bayern Munich.
All right. So Bayern went 2-0 against Wolfsburg.
Yeah, I thought Wolfsburg played really well at the beginning of that game. Really pushing forward. I thought they were ambitious. I thought they kind of dipped in and out after Bayern had scored, and they had trouble kind of dealing with the circumstances. But I think from a Wolfsburg perspective, you can't be too disappointed. It wasn't a bad performance. They didn't choke. They didn't collapse. They played as well as they probably could have in a situation where you're playing against the best team in the league, and that's going to happen. You see, obviously, Sadio Mane gets an early goal. It's waved off, and Wolfsburg almost score right after that, and then Jamal Musiala has just an incredible moment where he's on the ball. He's kind of brought down. He stands back up, takes one dribble, and just slots it into the bottom corner for an incredible goal. Three goals already this season. It looks like he's going to have his breakout season in the Bundesliga. Already has four goals in three games. I think that's pretty good. So he's a revelation again. This wasn't a Jamal Musiala game necessarily. He had an incredible goal, obviously, but this wasn't a game that was his, if that makes sense, if you know what I mean. He played really well, but this was a Thomas Müller level performance. I thought he was the one who did everything. I thought he played so extremely well, and he continues to be just an absolute menace to this league, and continues to be very underrated. Not in the top 30 for Ballon d'Or. I mean, just shut the fuck up. and then obviously once Bayern gets that first goal, it's difficult for them to come back and for Wolfsburg to come back and do anything. And then obviously before too long, a really clever goal where Joshua Kimmich is winding up from outside the box. The ball is coming to Müller, and just in a most clever way, he just taps it with his toe and it goes into the bottom corner, leaving sort of Costell's disoriented, because the track of the ball changed once he stuck his foot out and he basically couldn't react. And, it just rolls into the back of the net with a nice toe poke from Müller, and obviously another 3 points for Bayern Munich. It really seems like setting the pace, and obviously the usual Sadio Mane looked like he's been there for years and is clicking with the team. And I think the lineup's really crazy, and their depth is crazy. We knew that already, but it was another – they weren't as good as they were last week, but it was still a fairly impressive performance, and obviously they get the two goals, which is enough for the 3 points.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, when it comes to Bayern – I feel like we're the broken records when it comes to how great Bayern is. Obviously, it wasn't that his, like, the performance last week, but it still was up there, like we're used to seeing from them. I mean, from top to bottom, you have a solid squad. I mean, then you go to their bench, who is stacked. I mean, just in general, you wouldn't expect anything less from a Bayern Munich team. But then on the flip side, you have Wolfsburg has a decent team themselves. They did a great job in the first, like, few minutes of the first half and in certain other key moments throughout. But, I mean, it was just the overpowerment situation, again, with them just getting overpowered by Bayern. I mean, you had Kimmich, who performed great. I mean, Musiala, I think I just found my, even though he's way too young, but
this was a Musiala moment. It wasn't like he still played really well, but he wasn't the dominating force. And I just want to cut him real quick because I think Wolfsburg played really, really well. And in large stretches of the second half, they were the better team. So this wasn't a totally like undeniably dom. It wasn't a dominating performance. It was a solid performance from Bryant. It wasn't their best. It wasn't anywhere near their best. But this is what happens when you have this much quality in a team. You have the depth of that team. You have the starting 11 that they've been using the last few weeks. And I think personally, I think Bayern's second team would finish in the top three, maybe top two. That's how much depth that they really have. Because when you can bring in, yeah, and I know Inter has the depth, but just imagine a world where you can bring in Ryan Gravenberch, Kingsley Coman, Leroy Sané off the bench, and guys like Sabitzer and the Maruzi, who's the new right back, and then the Tell kid, who's another just solid player. You look at all the players on the Bayern bench that can come in and contribute. It's a joke.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but in general, I mean, it is the situation where we expect this from Bayern. I mean, it's like, obviously, we still give credit, a massive amount of credit to Lewandowski and what he did with that team. But, I mean, it's just showing that once some of the teams, once their major stars leave, if certain teams will just crumble under the weight, but then there's certain clubs that will rally and just say, hey, we got to get these goals. We got to work together and get this job done. And it shows in this Bayern team that, yeah, you may have lost Lewandowski, but you're definitely working as a collective with goals for Mueller, Musiala, Kimmich, and just so many other players on that team, and getting those results. And I'm excited to see more Musiala because he's really sparked our interest over the past few weeks and even in preseason. But I mean, it's just one of these things where some teams will shine and some teams will fizzle out once their main star leaves. And obviously that's the main takeaway that
they're not better or worse. They play differently. It might be a better collective in some senses, but they don't have a guy who's going to give you 50 goals. But I think they're just playing in a different way. And this team is still as capable of winning the Champions League as it was through with Robert there. It's just a different sort of feeling of it. And obviously it's great what they have. And Goretz is not at full fitness yet. And when he starts games, I think they're going to be a different monster. And obviously Musiala doing the thing. And you know, the thing that sucks about the Musiala thing though,
what sucks about it besides vacuum cleaners?
Because Florian Wirtz is hurt. It's not going to, we're going to see him to 2023. Because listen, there's a table among young players, you know, with Lewandowski, Haaland removed, only two people sit at this particular table. It's Wirtz, it's Musiala, and maybe Pedri. It's a table with only three seats, and two of those seats are occupied by Wirtz and Musiala. Musiala is amazing and great. Wirtz is a little better. So I would have loved to see Florian Wirtz in that Leverkusen team and this Musiala at the same time in the same season, but we're not going to see Wirtz until the middle of, I don't know when we're going to see him. We're going to see him this season, but you're talking about a Florian Wirtz who is basically, if there's any record for the youngest player to do something, he has it. And last year he had 11 goals and 15 assists before he got injured. So I think that the only sadness from the Musiala doing so well is it would have been cool to see Wirtz at his best and Musiala at his best at the same time, because I think these two would be on a crash course to potentially the player of the season. Although I personally think Nkunku is leading the race at the moment, but obviously this team is sick and Musiala is doing amazing things. And the other thing, good thing about it is that he doesn't have the English hype surrounding him like Jude Bellingham does, who I also rate highly, but Musiala has just been a special talent this season, and I think he's going to continue to do so.
Yeah, most definitely. And we have the final match to discuss, Schalke versus Mönchengladbach in a 2-2 draw.
Well, you fell out of the boat. But there was no water. You know, we talked about Gladbach's performance against against Hoffenheim, how great it was and how they were good in front of goal. Yeah, that went out the window. And they had to claw back after Schalke scored. And, you know, I was so happy Schalke got on the board first. And then, you know, Gladbach just get the two goals relatively quickly. And then it comes down to the very end of the game and a penalty. And Schalke managed to rescue a point. It's good that they got the point. Obviously, Gladbach were misfiring missiles from anywhere outside of the two goals that they scored. And I did not think they played well. I didn't think Schalke played well either. It was a tough game because both of them were struggling so significantly. So, although the opening goal from Salazar was unreal, according to the Bundesliga's metric team, he had a 3% chance of scoring the goal. And it was just an outrageous strike from outside the box. And obviously, they hold it. And then Gladbach, who can't do nothing. Then they get a pair of chances where they convert. And then obviously, at the end, Schalke get the point. But Gladbach's issues come up again. And on the other side of things, the blue of Schalke, they're starting to worry me. They're starting to worry Ryan. I don't think they're going to get relegated. I stand by that. But they need to win soon. And they play Wolfsburg tomorrow. They got to do something. They have to start getting points. So there's worry. There's reasons to be worried for Schalke. I do think they're not going to get relegated, but there are. It is a concerning opening 2 weeks. And then obviously Gladbach, they managed to get a point. They also won today against a horrible Hertha Berlin team. And, they fall short and so on. But sorry, they get the points against Hertha Berlin and all that and so on. But it was a tough match between two teams and dramatic finish. And by the way, we still have to talk about Hertha and Frankfurt, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, wait. Did we? I forgot, yeah. Hertha and Frankfurt. Oh, yeah. My bad, sorry.
No, I just thought of it now because I just mentioned Hertha Berlin. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, we will have one more match after this. My bad. But yeah, I mean, Mönchengladbach reverted back into old habits. Besides the two goals that they got, couldn't hit water even if they fell out of the boat. I mean, they obviously Schalke didn't perform that great either. But you had hit the nail on the head. I still don't think they're gonna get relegated, but they need to start winning, or else it could be one of those scenarios where they go back down yet again. And I feel bad for Ryan, who loves this team with every fiber of his being. And just to see the team that he loves go back down to Bundesliga 2 would be just...
Yeah, we can't. No, we can't say that. Sorry. I just can't let emotionally... I can't let that be said. No, you're right, though. I don't think they're going to go back down. The question is that we all had is, are they going to have to deal with relegation this season? I said no. Ryan said no. You said no. That does not look like it's going to happen. I think they are going to have to deal with relegation. The question is, can they beat it? I still think so, but I didn't want to go into this Bundesliga season with them to deal with that possibility. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so I mean, Mönchengladbach, my brothers, seriously, get your act together, please. I mean, at least try to hit something. I mean, good grief. But, I mean, at least they're doing a fairly decent so far with having, I think, 4 points this season.
Yeah, but they're doing all right.
But at least they're doing okay, but there is definitely still room for improvement in the attack. But overall, with the defense and the rest of the team, they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I like the manager, too, the new one.
I can't remember the name of him.
Daniel Farker. He was at Norwich City for years, and he – I think he was an assistant at Gladbach before he went to the Premier League. He had a job in like Turkey or Russia or one of those, but never coached a game because of the situation there. But no, I like what I've seen from him. You know, yes, the things in front of goal is going to be a work in progress. They're not going to just all of a sudden look like Bayern Munich in front of goal. So it's gonna just be a little bit. But I think the other areas of the team that need improvement, they look sharper. They look like a team that's not going to have to finish in the lower half of the table. I like his temperament on the sideline. I think he knows what he's doing. He's for the first time in years, he's coaching a team that's not total dog shit. So it's nice to see him kind of having control over this. And I think he's doing a really good job. Again, in front of goal, I think it's going to improve, but it's still a little bit of a mess at this point. But I think 4 points out of six ain't bad.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, it could be worse. So, I mean, I'm happy with where they're at right now. Obviously, still room for improvement in certain areas. But other than that, I'm not too worried at the moment. But as the season goes on, if this continues to be an issue, then I may have a little bit more to say. But we'll see. Hopefully, they start stepping up in that aspect and that wouldn't be an issue anymore. And last but not least, the one match that I almost forgot. Hertha Berlin versus, what was it, Frankfurt?
Yeah.
Versus Frankfurt.
Elliot, last week, I don't know if this Hertha team can get any points. Seriously. You tell me who they're taking points from. Yeah, well, they got a point. Not only do they get a point, they scored in the first 3 minutes. Hertha looked all right. They weren't terrible. They weren't good. They weren't as bad as last week. They managed to break through in the opening couple of minutes. They didn't get that many other big chances after that. But it didn't look like they were just basically defending for dear life until they broke through. Frankfurt looked not great. They had very minimal chances. They scored on the one they did have with Dashi Kamada, with Kostic gone. They're struggling, man. Defensively, they look like a joke and not in a good way. I think they're lacking something. Yeah, even though Jeff Lundstrom seems to be playing well pretty much every time he gets called up on for Frankfurt, they're, again, no striker. They're no real striker. No striker can give you 15. This is going to be the thing that we're going to be talking about all year. Their defense and the fact that they don't have a lead striker. If you look at the goals they've scored this season, they scored with a goalkeeping mistake against Bayern, and they scored with a midfielder. I just don't know how many goals they're going to have out of the striker position, and I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, I know. Like, we've been discussing that for the past, obviously, in our preview episode and then last week's episode. It's just the striker situation and the defense situation of Frankfurt. If they were able to get a striker before the window closes, which I do believe is September 1st, I believe, I mean, they would have to get that deal done very quickly.
I have a crazy idea.
Okay. Okay, hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is another crazy idea from Elliot, brought to you in part by the Deutschland Cultural Podcast.
Okay, here's my idea. So Timo Werner's back at Leipzig. Okay, if you look at the Leipzig strikers, they still have obviously Timo Werner. They have Yusuf Poulsen. They have Andre Silva. They have Emil Forsberg and more. They have lots of pieces there. Again, so what they should do is get Yusuf Poulsen. He's played, I think, over 350 games for Leipzig. He's been there since the beginning, before they were in the Bundesliga. But there's not a lot of room for him in the team. They either get him or try to get I don't know. I don't know how – it depends on Silva's importance and how the coach wants to use him. I imagine they want to keep Silva, but just throw in an offer and see what happens. They need someone that can score at least 12 goals. And again, there's other way. There's other places you could look for that, but I just think they have to make a judgment call like now. And I don't know. I don't think they will, but I think it's not. Maybe try to get Silva back. I don't think that will work, but maybe Paulson, they'll let maybe on a loan. Maybe you just keep him for a year. I don't know, but they got to do something.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's just until they figure that situation out, it's going to be very hard to find those goals. But I mean, then you have Hertha Berlin didn't perform that great, but they still got a goal, and they were able to actually get a point. Would you look at that? I mean, we thought they were not going to get any points this season just because of how bottom of the barrel they are. But they
To be fair, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, they did come out there, first 3 minutes, boom, get that goal. Obviously, Frankfurt was able to capitalize on one of their opportunities, and... But I mean, it's just not a good look when you have a team that scrapes the bottom of the barrel, as we said, and then you have a team who struggles without a main striker. So it just really wasn't a great performance from either team. But I mean, they can't be mad at getting a point, though. I mean, the
happier side is definitely Hertha Berlin, though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is a team that probably is going to get relegated, but at least a point for them is huge. At least it's one small step in the right direction.
Sorry, go ahead.
But, I mean, it was not a great performance from either team. So, there's got to be some changes made to each side next week and as the season progresses, or else things are just going to be very difficult for both sides.
Yeah, it was the Europa League champions against the Bundesliga basement, and it was a 1-1 draw. I mean, it's just, you know, I think they're just in a mess. But, you know, in fairness to Hertha Berlin, 3 games, they got fucking annihilated, executed against in the Berlin Derby, as expected. They get a point against Frankfurt, and they only lost to Gladbach because of a penalty. So, as much as I was, you know, I still think they're going to get relegated, but there's some optimism they can take from the first 3 weeks for them. And then obviously Frankfurt needs to get a win next time out. They really need to, because, you know, it's going to be a little bit chippy if because they could fall into a relegation battle, and I don't think they want that. That you can't go down to Bundesliga 2 with a European trophy. I know Hamburg's there with one, but ideally that's not what you want.
Yeah, agreed. Let's see. Is there any other things that we need to touch base on?
No. Player of the week is the Augsburg goalkeeper. The donkey of the week is for me. I guess I hate to do it, but Schlabberschlag. You can't just hit something. You just can't hit people in the face. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. I love you so much. You're my friend. You don't know that, but we're friends. And I love you, but come on, dude. You can't be hitting people in the face.
Yeah, I actually will agree with the donkey and the player of the week. And Schlabberschlag, if this was deathmatch football where you're allowed to hit people in the face with light tubes as you're kicking the ball, that'd be fine. But this is not death. This is not hardcore. Ooh, I just came up with a new football.
It's not UFC, basically, is the point. You can't just fucking hit people in the face and people clap.
Wait, I might be on to something. I'm going to have to create this new sport. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, anyway, it was, yeah, definitely, you cannot be doing that. That just, now you're.
Yeah, if you want to hit someone in the face, then go, you know, go watch Kamaru Usman and all the UFC guys. Because you can do that. You can fucking kneel people. You can punch people. You can hit people. You can choke people. I mean, you basically can do everything. But I mean,
or just get yourself a punching bag or something. Go just get your frustrations out at home out of the punching bag.
The reason it happened is because because Cologne was pissing him off, and he reacted, and you can't do that. So,
and also, second goes to Cologne. Stop pissing people off.
They're not doing anything wrong. They just play physically. They play a physical game, and because of that, the opposing team feels frustrated and get angry. That's what happens. You can't. Yeah, again, it's hard not to in those situations, the spur of the moment. But you got to be smarter, my friend.
Yeah, I agree. So with that, this has been another episode of Deutschland Couch Show. We'll see you guys on the next one.